Well, I want to say good morning to everybody.
Morning, Gary.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Stephen. I was waiting for that, exactly. I was waiting. This is a part in my introduction where I introduce myself. I'm Gary Angstead. I'm the pastor for, and I want to let you know that I have been on an 8-week sabbatical. I just got back, and I have no idea what my title is here at Hope Church. Neither did I care for 8 weeks. I got back. I didn't know where my office was. I forgot the code to the office, and I didn't even realize I was preaching until last night. So I'm glad you're here to grin and bear what I have to say. I've been gone so long, if Pastor Stephen Kirk is still the pastor, this was my line, and I know you've already spoke up, but if you are still the lead pastor, thank you for letting me share today. I am sure that he is. He's doing a phenomenal job. Believing God is who he says he is, and that he wants to give much more. We are to be bold, take risks, be confident, have courage in asking God to work in our lives and answer our prayers according to his perfect will and timing, having the confidence that he will do so. In Proverbs 6:8, verses 6 through 8, it's a verse about a little insect called an ant. Listen to the scripture. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider, in other words, reflect or study or think about her ways or her habits, and be wise without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer. She's very diligent and gathers her food in harvest. What can we learn from ants? Well, first of all, ants are hardworking. They dedicate significant effort and energy towards a task. They're audacious, they're bold, they risk, they're confident, they're courageous. They consistently apply themselves to a specific activity, skill, or routine with focused effort and structure, structured guidance, striving for improvement or mastery. Now, where are my kids today? Raise your hand. I know this is the last mosaic. Pastor Gary can't be up here without giving you something to go. I'm going to give you something. Parents, I want to let you know, and I'm not being funny, but what I'm going to give them is, it is a choking hazard. That's what uncles do. Sorry. But I want to give you something, kids, to remember this message and to think about God's creature called an ant. So if you can come running up here, come on, we're on a time frame. So I'm going to dump these out, and you can come up and grab an ant. If you would just grab one ant, I'll put them over here. Put them in your pockets. Give them to your fathers for Christmas or Father's Day, whatever you want. Just take one now. Who's raising this kid here? Just take one. Oh, that's your kid. That's your kid. Congratulations. Just take an ant. Put it in your pocket. You can look at it. Make sure it ends up in the carpet. There you go. Put it in your pocket. Make sure it ends up in the carpet so mom and dad has to vacuum it up. Excellent. Now, how many of you are in your 70s or 80s and you wanted an ant? Let me see your hands. All right. Well, I was going to invite you down here, but I shouldn't say that. Ah, the Dorito. A person noticed a Dorito dance across their kitchen floor. Never seeing this before, they crouched down to investigate. Evidently, an especially audacious, hardworking ant had found the Dorito under the table and was hauling his enormous treasure back to his home. Ants are amazing creatures. This person was mesmerized and impressed by this ant. Ants can easily carry 50 times their body mass. Thank you, Stephen, for helping that young man. Did he get an ant? Ants can easily carry more than 50 times their body mass and will patiently travel several miles. All right, everybody look at me now. You know, I'm gonna preach this. Because remember, I put it together last night, and man, I was up all night. And my patience is, we're not preaching on patience, we're preaching on prayer today. so I don't have to be patient. Yeah. Just for that, I'm backing up. The person was mesmerized, impressed. Ants are amazing creatures. They can easily carry more than 50 times their body mass and will patiently travel several miles to bring a prize home to their colony. When ants are on the trail for food, they don't let obstacles stand in their way. They don't throw in the towel the moment things get hard. They don't shrug their shoulders if they had them and simply give up. They don't make excuses or apologize. These are amazing creatures, these little things that we call ants. Listen to this about ants. They honor grit over quit. Football season's just around the corner, and I can see a football coach grabbing the kid by his face mask and going, listen, we want grit over quit. And sometimes when it comes to the discipline of prayer, we need to have that. Ants are bold and determined. Jesus, with all of this in mind, about one of your amazing creatures, the ant, teaches to pray. Luke 11, 1 through 13, Jesus teaches his disciples about prayer, emphasizing its importance and providing a model prayer called the Lord's Prayer, and some people call it the disciples' prayer. Jesus uses this parable to show a few things. We have a loving Father. A loving Father who responds to bold and faithful prayer. And God, through prayer, gives us the greatest gift. Now, of all the messages and talks I've ever delivered, I have never been this excited to get to the end of the message. Now, I know some of you just said, why don't you go ahead and do that? And I want to say there's other churches looking, but I shouldn't say that. I have never been so excited to get to the end of the message. And so I'm going to rip through this a little bit. But I want you to listen. I want you to hear what God has to say. But I'm excited to tell you about the greatest gift that God gives you through prayer. Now, I want to read Luke 1 or 11. I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 13. Just those two right now. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. In verse 13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? How much more will the Heavenly Father give? What does this parable teach us? What does it teach us? Number one, we read in verse one, Jesus, our King, our Savior, the one who was crucified for us, the one who loves us, who's there for us, he prayed. Luke reveals in his book the importance of prayer in Jesus' life and ministry. This was a great exercise I ran into, and I went through it. I took it slowly, and I encourage you to do that sometime. But let me read the life of Jesus in prayer through the book of Luke. 3:21, Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. 5:16, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. 6:12, in these days, he went out to a mountain to pray. All night, he continued in prayer to God. 9:18, now it happened that he was praying alone. 9:28, now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James and went up to the mountain again to pray. In 10:21, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. This is our Savior praying and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and have revealed them to little children. Kids in the room, listen to that verse. Let it go into your mind and into your heart. Our Savior gives you attention, thoughtful attention. He cares about children. He cares about you. He prayed, yes, Father, for such was your gracious key word, your will. 11:1, we just read. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. 22:41 through 44, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying this, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, Not my will. Our Savior says, not my will, but yours be done, Father. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him and being in agony. What did he do? Did he quit? Did he give up? No, he prayed more earnestly in his agony. And his sweat became like drops, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. 23:46, on the cross, our Savior calling out with a loud voice, his last prayer on earth, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last and he died for all of us. If King Jesus took the time to talk things over with his Father, to be close with him, to be dependent upon him, to receive direction from him, to receive power from him, how much more are we in need of time alone with God in prayer? We also learn from this parable, we need to be taught how to pray. We need to be taught how to pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not something we do automatically. It's not natural. It must be taught and it has to be learned. This is a very important point. The disciples saw Jesus' unique passion for prayer and they wanted it. It's something they desired. It's just like in our culture when we see an athlete or we see a musician or we see somebody who leads well or somebody who has artistic ability or somebody who can build and work with their hands and they do things. They can do landscaping and plant flowers and gardens. We see that and we go, I want to have that skill. You have to be taught. You have to learn. It's the same thing with prayer. We've got to learn it. It has to be taught to us. The disciples saw Jesus praying and they wanted to have that same gift. They wanted to have that same discipline in their life. They wanted to know the secret of a closer communion with God. We see in verses 2-4, let's read those together. Verse 2, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive one another who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So this week as I read that, I came across a caution that I want to pass on to you with this prayer. And the caution is this: Jesus was giving us a normative pattern for prayer. This prayer is a model, it's not a mantra. Jesus is saying to us here in the scripture, in your conversation with the Father, talk about these things. We often say, I don't know what to say. When you meet somebody new, I don't know what to say. Go meet your new neighbor. I will, but I don't know what to say. Jesus does not leave us hanging when it comes to prayer. He gives us this pattern of prayer. He gives us these instructions for us, and here they are. Number one, address the Father. Wow. Slow down. Let it sink in. God, Jesus, is inviting us to call the creator of the universe Father. Two things I took away from that. Number one, God is approachable. God is approachable. God is accessible. Ephesians 2:17-18. And he came and preached peace to you who were far from God and peace to those who were near to God. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Number two, give attention to his kingdom. This is a craving for God's reign to be established on earth, amen? The crazy world we live in, my mom the other day when I was in Florida with her, looked up to the clouds and said, Lord Jesus, please come now. Fulfill your reign here, continue your reign. In Zechariah 14:9, he said, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. And we as followers of Jesus wait for that day. We long for that day. We need to pray about that day being coming. So in this pattern, we have the things of God. Recognize the things of God. and you will find them in his word. So you're a reader of God's word. You learn about God's character. You learn who God is. You learn what God is up to. You pray about those things. You pray about his kingdom. And the second part in this prayer is it's about us, you and us. You see, God graciously provides items that sustain us. Daily bread. Just because we have abundance of food in our culture, please don't miss an opportunity to be grateful that that food on your plate, on your table, was provided for you by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Father. We have clean drinking water. This is one thing I thank God for often, that we have clean drinking water. How about this one? We need our sins to be forgiven. And God graciously, through the cross of Jesus, forgives them. We are vulnerable and more likely to succumb to any temptation. What does God do? What do we pray for? God, please protect us from. Are we getting the message? You see, prayer strengthens our relationship with God and shows our dependence on him, our need for him. This is what prayer does. And now, in the passage, Jesus tells a story. So everything we've talked about to this point is the what to pray. And now Jesus is going to dive into what to pray. Now, how do we pray? Well, in these parables that we're going to read today, these parables help us understand God is approachable. He is gracious, generous, and ready to hear your request. They teach us if humans respond to a request like we do, how much more will God respond? Because he's God. Now, as we dive into the parables, we need to understand that these parables are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. Now, in our culture, we'll look at something and we'll say, I can't even imagine. It blew my mind. I can't. That is ridiculous. That's not how we roll. It's ridiculous. Why was it ridiculous? Well, in this culture that we're reading about in the Bible, hospitality was a high value, almost a duty. A visitor was to be welcomed and cared for no matter the time of day or night. With that in mind, let's read parable number one, verse 5. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, and here's the request, the very bold request, lend me 3 loaves of bread. Now, here's the reason for the request. A friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and here's the appeal to the hospitality duty, I have nothing to set before him. And he, the sleeping neighbor, will answer from within. Here is the duty refused. He refused to be hospitable and said 4 of the most heart-wrenching, heartbreaking words in all of the Bible. Do not bother me. All of a sudden, in this relationship of friend to friend, in a request, he says, do not bother me. And in human relationships, all of a sudden, there's tension. You can feel it. Not only is there tension, but the request, the sleeping neighbor all of a sudden gets irritated. Now, some of you join me in this. I get irritated, and I get irritated sometimes too easily, especially when I'm hungry. And my wife realizes that and says, she says these words so kindly, I think you need to eat something. That's what she says. That is the cue of, Gary, you're getting grumpy. In those times of irritation, I want to say to those in need, do not bother me. Here's the reason for the refusal. The door is now shut, dude. My children are sleeping. Come on, man. I just put them to bed. The request is totally denied. I cannot get up and give you anything. Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet, and here's the key phrase in the passage, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. So what do we learn from this? What do we learn about ourselves here? We learn we should boldly, like the neighbor who came asking for bread, even shamelessly present our petition before God the Father. In verse 8, we see that key word, impudence. The Greek word here means shamelessness, or someone who acts without sensibility to shame or disgrace, shameless audacity, no guide to conduct. He's like, look, dude, I got a need here, and I'm coming to you. I know it's outside of our cultural boundaries. We should continue to pray about them until we get an answer. Some of you listening to the sound of my voice or watching online, you're saying, you know what, Pastor Gary, I have prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I'm going to look at you and say, pray some more. Because of what comes at the end of the passage, pray more. Because what comes at the end of the climax of the whole scripture here today, pray some more. Pray some more. You see, the friend outside refused to go away. He's practicing 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. So we learn that about us, but what do we learn about God in these verses? Because God is a gracious, loving Father. He is ready and willing to not only hear your prayers, but to answer them. God created the listening seminar. He is a great listener. He is available to listen to you today and to respond. He may respond with yes to your prayer request. He may respond with no to your prayer request. And he may respond with wait. And in my Christian experience, one of the greatest disciplines I've come across, you think it might be patience, and I can use that, believe me. It is the gift of waiting. And waiting on God to move on your behalf. So we stand outside of God's door, and we are waiting for him to move. He may say yes, he may say no, he may say wait. You see, the friend inside refused to get out of bed. But Jesus compares the reluctant sleeper to the gracious and responsive God who is eager to hear your needs. He's eager to meet your needs. This is what we need to understand, the character of God. He is eager to hear. He's eager to respond. Jesus offers his hearers here in the scripture and today a how much more argument. You see, God does not sleep. Psalm 121:4, behold, he who keeps Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. That is an incredible thought. As we have traveled the world, and we know it's dark somewhere around the world, God is there. God can hear. He's not sleeping. He's there when we get up at 3:00 in the morning with a petition to God because your heart is crushed and broken. God hears that. He doesn't sleep. And the other thing our God doesn't do, he never says, you bother me. W.C. Fields, the actor, used to say, go away, kid, you bother me. Our Father will never, and this is an extreme, I get it, and we're not supposed to use extremes in relationship, but you can with God. God will never, ever say to you, you bother me. To keep us praying, to keep us moving, to keep the disciples learning, hearing about this prayer life that Jesus had, we looked at all through Luke, he gives us verses 9 and 10. Let's look at those together. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Amen. Seek, and you will find. Amen. Knock, and it will be open to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. Ask, seek, knock. God's love and grace that he hears and responds to our requests. So we should go boldly, even like the neighbor who came and asked for bread, shamelessly before the Father. And when we get there, now here's a moment. It's a moment we've all been in. And it is the moment where we get there and we go, what do I do now? Man, I'm ready to go. I'm willing to go. I'll do whatever it takes to get there. And I get there and I stand and I go, what do I do now? And again, I want to say our King, our Savior does not leave us hanging when it comes to understanding what it means to communicate with him and his Father and his Spirit. When we get there, Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, and to knock. What does that mean? Ask is a common term for prayer. It means to come to God in humility and awareness of the needs that we have. Listen to John 16:24. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. In John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. God's invitation to us. He also invites us to seek, to actively pursue God's will and persist in prayer. Be confident God the Father will provide what is best for us according to his will. And again, I want to look at that word best, because once we get to the end of the message to talk today, that's what is best for us that God gives us. Deuteronomy 4:29, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him, amen, if you search after him with all your heart and with all of your soul. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yes, we worship and serve a pursuing God. We say that so often around Hope Church. But if you, as you look at these things, this gives us the idea of we need to be seeking after him as well, to find him, to love him, to talk with him, to communicate with him. And the word knock takes me back to Luke 11, verses 5 through 8, when the man stood at the door. The pray without ceasing concept of he was there waiting for that answer. And the scripture promises, here's the promise result. It will be given and it will be opened. Parable number two. Look at verse 11. What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Our human fathers know how to give good gifts. And I want you right now in your thinking to think back to your dads and think about the gifts that they gave. Some of you, it may be funny or it may make you chuckle or laugh. Some of you like, man, my father, he gave us good gifts. My mother gave us good. We give good gifts to our children. No ordinary father would be so cruel to give his son or daughter something dangerous like an ant that you can swallow. That's what uncles do when he asks for something that is good. Now, you might be asking yourself the question, what's the evil here? Why did Jesus say? Because his listeners understood the total depravity of man, our sinful nature. They understood that. We are sinful. You see, we can trust our loving, generous Heavenly Father to give the best gift of all because he wants the best for us. Boy, I've learned that over the years. When you run into somebody who wants the best for you, we usually run with them. We usually hang with them. And I'm here to tell you from what I've read and what I've learned, and hopefully you've learned as well working through the journal, that you saw that God wanted to give you the best gift of all. How much more? You get these gifts from your earthly parents, your earthly kids, et cetera, et cetera. God wants to give you the best gift of all. Now, I need to give you this phrase to chew on for a minute. What constitutes a good gift is determined by God. I think this is where we get tripped up in our prayer life sometimes. Because we go into it with, I know what the good gift is, and I'm going after it. That's called business. That's called, we want to go after that. That's goal setting. I get it. I understand that. But we need to understand what constitutes a good gift is determined by God himself. He is the gift giver to us. Here's the climax. This is it. This is what I wanted to get to. I can't wait to tell you because it was something that helped me out. It's the plot twist. God's best gift for those who pray is God's greatest gift in verse 13 is this. It's the greatest gift. Is it the answer yes? Is it the answer no? Even is it the answer wait? What is the greatest gift that God has given us through a life of prayer? And it is his Holy Spirit. What a surprise. I was surprised when I read that. In fact, I didn't understand it. And I went back and looked. The Spirit is not mentioned above in the Lord's Prayer. It's not mentioned in the Lord's instructions. Jesus was talking about friends, and he was talking about bread, et cetera, et cetera. He's talking about fish, and he was talking about snakes and spiders and things like that. What do you mean the Holy Spirit? Jesus promises. We ask, God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that we can receive. It's what we need. So you've been praying fervently, you've been praying faithfully, and you're not feeling, sensing, you're hearing the answer, but it is God himself at that moment who enters in with you to give you his Spirit, to help calm you, to help center you, to help you understand maybe the situation. It is that moment when you're praying in the hospital, in the waiting room, and the person on the other side of the wall that's being operated on, we don't know if they're gonna make it, we don't know if they're gonna come out and live, and we're praying, and God the Holy Spirit touches you and gives you the opportunity at that moment to minister to everybody in that waiting room. I feel like saying right now, that's what prayer is all about, Charlie Brown. With the Spirit in our lives, we can live in daily dependence on God because our Father will give us the one necessary thing, the one necessary thing. His Spirit. So what does the Spirit do for us? Well, the Spirit gives us spiritual blessings. He reveals the truth of God through the teaching of Scripture. He convicts us of sin. He gives us the gift of repentance. I pray that you would pray that for yourself, pray that for others, that they would receive the gift of repentance. He persuades of the truth of the gospel, working in us the gift of faith. This faith unites us to Jesus. Through the Spirit, we receive the blessing of salvation. He gives us victory over sin. The Spirit equips us with gifts for ministry. He grows us in the fruit of godliness. The Spirit assures us that we are children of God. One day, the Spirit will raise us up from the dead, change us into glory. To have the Spirit, we have everything God has to give us. All we have to do is ask. You see, and here's the twist, God's best gift, best answered prayer is himself. It's himself. It's himself. So remember, when you're waiting for the yes, when you're waiting for the no, or you're waiting for the wait, that in that moment, don't miss that God relishes the time that he is with you and you are giving him full attention in prayer. All of this so that we become eager participants in the purposes of God, yielding our lives and wills to him. Believe because God is who he says he is. He wants to give so much more. When it comes to our prayer life, be bold, risk, have confidence, have courage in asking God to work in our lives. Remember, God doesn't sleep. Remember, God, he can't be bothered. So many times we say, I don't want to bother them. Bother God. And finally, trust God will hear and answer your prayers according to his perfect will and timing. And remember that God's best answer to prayer is himself. Believing God is who he says he is and that he wants to give much more, we are to be bold, take risks, be confident, be courageous, and asking God to work in our lives and answer our prayers according to his perfect will and timing, having confidence that he will do so. Let's pray. Jesus, we come humbly before your throne and thank you for this opportunity that we can come directly to you in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today to your disciples that we could see today and learn from this model prayer, these two stories that help us understand how we come to your throne. They help us understand what we ask, how we need to ask when we get there, and what we need to do once our requests are delivered to you. And we understand, God, that your best answer to prayer is that you give yourself. Thank you for giving us the model of your son spending time with you And Lord, may we be a church, may we be a people, may we be individuals, may we be families who take the example of the ant to work hard, to be focused, to be consistent, not to give up, to honor grit over quit when it comes to our prayer life. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen and amen.